Okay, tonight is Thursday, April 4th. This is the Chumashir, the weekly Chumashir, and in lieu of the fact that it is 2 weeks before Yantiv, we're doing a shir on the Haggadah tonight. Okay, Rabotai. I've been giving a shir on the Haggadah for many years on a particular evening before Yom Tov, and you know, sometimes I repeat things from time to time because it's really good. But tonight I can tell you I have not said any of what I'm going to say tonight any time previously. So nobody can say I heard this already. But even Mark Zitter will have to admit that I never said any of this. And I have a handout. So, okay. I know. Now, there are some people and also. So the handout tonight is numbered 18. 18A, 18B. Not because any Yankees 18, because of the 18 strikeouts yesterday, which unfortunately set a Yankee record. They struck out 18 times in a 9-inning game. So on page 18A and 18B, you have the text of the Haggadah. I photostatted from the Rambam. He doesn't have our entire text that we use, but for tonight, this is all that we need. And then for each Dvar Torah, they are labeled Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dal, and pages C, D, E, and F, and the sources that go along with them that I will be quoting, so I'll tell you exactly what page, what to look at. So I'd like to begin with a comment on something that appears in the Haggadah. It's on page 18a. It is source Aleph. You might remember the phrase Baruch Shomer Havtachaso L'am LeYisrael. Baruch Hu, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu, we have Chishev, the Rambam's Mechashev V'taketz, and so on and so forth. So we bless Hakadosh Baruch Hu, simple translation, for the fact that he was Shomer Havtachato. He honored his promise. He fulfilled his promise. What did he do? He told us that Yadoa Teidak Geyir Zachar Beretz Lohem, you're going to be in a land that doesn't belong to you. Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'o Shana, they will afflict you for 400 years. Ve'acharechein Yetzu Beruchush Gadol, you will leave and you will accumulate enormous wealth. So the way every translation, if you have a Haggadah, you can look at it. How do they interpret the word Shomer Havtachaso? God honored, fulfilled his promise. He was careful to fulfill it. And to tell you the truth, even though that's the standard translation, I don't think I am terribly surprised that HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored his commitment. That he honored and kept his promise. God, who is identified, it's not just one of the midot, it's not only one of the attributes and characteristics, it is his very essence that he is emet. Chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. So, I'm not terribly shocked that HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored his commitment and fulfilled exactly the promises that are made and stated in Bereshit chapter 15. So it's nice. I'm not saying it's not nice, but I'd like to suggest something else as to what the word Shomer might mean. And it has an incredibly meaningful impact upon us as well. So if you go now to page 18c, these are the sources for Dvar Torah Aleph. In source A, the Pasuk in Parshat Vayeshev states as follows. Yosef and his brothers were quarreling, And the brothers were jealous of Yosef's dreaming that he was going to be the king. All of the bundles are bowing down to him. The sun, the moon, and the stars are all acknowledging his authority. So the pasuk states, "Vayikanu bo echav." His brothers were jealous. "Ve'aviv shomar et hadavar." What does shomar mean? It doesn't mean he fulfilled the promise. It means he anticipated. He couldn't wait until it was going to be fulfilled. The brothers were jealous and hoping that it would not be fulfilled. And in fact, a couple of psukim later, the brothers all say, you know what? Let's go kill him. And v'nihiyeh mayim chalomotav. Let's see about his dreams, where they're going to be fulfilled. And then Yehuda pipes up and says, there are more sources if you need. And Yehuda pipes up and says, you can just put them in the back there. That's all. Yeah. Yehuda says, "Ma betza ki naharog achinu." What financial benefit can we accrue by killing him? Lechuvenim karenu laYishmaelim. Let's sell him, which they did. But Avraham shomar et hadavar. It means Yaakov, shomar et hadavar. He understood fully well that the reason why Yosef is dreaming about Malchus is because he, Yaakov, planted the seed in his mind. When Yosef was awarded the Ktonet Pasim, that was a symbol that Yaakov planned on making Yosef the king of Israel. That's what he was planning on doing right here and now. Yaakov had believed, and I once said this in the name of the Rav on another occasion, Yaakov believed that the promise that he made to Avraham, that the Jew would be in exile, was already fulfilled. He fulfilled that promise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How? He was at Lavan's house for 20 years. Eretz Lo Lahem. And he worked very hard. Okay, he wasn't there 400 years. We weren't in Mitzrayim 400 years either. We were 210 years. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev et HaKeitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be Chishev et HaKeitz even if it's only 20 years. So he thought he was coming back to Eretz Yisrael never to be exiled again, and that he is about to establish the Malchut in Eretz Canaan, and that was going to be Yosef. And that's why he loved him. That's why he loved Yosef. And that's why he gave him the Ksonis Pasim. Yeah? It was what? Yeah, he was afflicted. In Lavan's house. He said it himself. I worked like a dog. I worked like a dog for 20 years. And again, I don't want to go through all the textual proofs that the Rav brought for it. I'll just give you one or two. It starts in Perek Lamed Zayin. That's where it takes place. At the end of Perek Lamed Vav, the Torah writes, "Ela ha-melachim asher molchu be'eretz Adom lifnei melach melech b'Yisrael." Translated, sir, these are the kings who ruled Edom before the Jewish king was established. When is the first Jewish king? Shaul. So now the Torah has to list the 8 Edomite kings who ruled in this region before Shaul came about. Who cares about that? But if Yaakov is planning to establish Yosef as the king, that's why the Torah tells us, "Lifnei melach melech b'Yisrael." Okay, I'm not going to go into detail this. Anyhow, there is a second pasuk where the word vish shomar, shin mem resh, means to anticipate. It is one of the most powerful interpretations I've seen of a pasuk that we recite every Friday night and Shabbos morning. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. La'asot et ha-shabbat l'dorotam. Says Rabbeinu Bachya. What does the word V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et Shabbat la'asot et ha-shabbat. And he writes, when he comments on Pasuk Tet Zayin, al dvar ha-pshat litakein litzorchei Shabbat. La'asot et ha-shabbat does not mean about doing anything on Shabbos itself. It means to engage in preparation for what? For the Shabbos day. And therefore, in the second line, Ubiyer HaKatuv Shehei Adam Zahir Bichvot Shabbat Ulehishamer Mikol Belacha Ulehishtadel Shiyachin Litzorech HaShabbos. A person is supposed to prepare on behalf of Shabbos. When you prepare for something, why are you preparing? What are you doing anything before? Not only because you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. You prepare in advance for something because you anticipate. You can't wait till that item arrives. And I want to make sure that I am fully ready to enjoy that particular day. And in fact, Bachya on Pasuk Yudalid says, Ushmar Temet HaShabbat, says at the end of the first line, Kidei Lirmoz Shmira Achar HaShabbat Ushmira Kodem HaShabbat. Ushmar Tem means somehow to keep the Shabbat in mind before the Shabbos comes and after the Shabbos comes. So he technically illustrates that with the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. You start Shabbos a little earlier, and you delay the exit of Shabbos on Saturday night. But on a more philosophical level, why would a person welcome the Shabbos earlier? Why would a person extend the Shabbos? Because it demonstrates, I just can't wait until the Shabbos comes, and I don't even want to wait until HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded that I observe the Shabbos. When does He demand that I observe the Shabbos? At sundown, Shkiyas HaChama. But I want to start Shabbos a lot earlier. And we are allowed to do so, and encouraged to do so. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, it's quoted in the Medrash as well, that Ezehu ben Olam Haba Ze HaMishayer Me'avdalta Likidusha. Who is a person who is worthy of Olam Haba? That's a person who leaves over wine from Havdalah for Friday night's Kiddush. What exactly does that mean? It means that as a person makes Havdalah, he is so upset that he's going back into the regular routine of the week, he can't wait until he puts on his kapata for next Friday night's Shabbos. He can't wait. So how does he demonstrate that he can't wait? The wine that he just used for Havdalah, he's saving it for Kiddush next Friday night. So the word Vishamru, according to Bachya, means engage in anticipation for Shabbos. How do you anticipate? How do you demonstrate your anticipation? La'asot. Just begin to prepare on Shabbos. And this is, just as a comment, one of the fundamental differences between American Jewry and Israeli Jewry. In Israel, you feel Shabbos Friday afternoon. You know that Shabbos is coming. All the businesses shut down. You see it. You feel it. The Rav always used to bemoan. He says, we have plenty of Shomrei Shabbos in America, but very few Erev Shabbos Yidden. People come home 2 minutes before the Zman, rush into the shower, run to shul, and there's very little anticipation for the Shabbos. There is a Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in Source D, a Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, where the Rambam writes in Halacha Bet, Ezehu Kavod. What is the definition of Kavod Shabbos? Zeh she'amru Chachamim shemitzvah al adam lirchotz panav yadav uraglav b'chamin be'erev Shabbos mipnei kavod ha'Shabbos. Supposed to take a shower on Erev Shabbos. In fact, the Gaon defines the Rambam as Kavod always takes place on Friday afternoon. Not on Shabbos. There's no Kvod Shabbos on Shabbos. It's always Friday. Oneg Shabbos takes place on Shabbos. So you take a bath, and listen to how the Rambam says, Umis atev batzitzis, you put on your talis, v'yoshev b'kovid rosh, and you sit seriously, umiyachem lahakbalat p'nei Shabbat. Sit and wait in eager anticipation of the arrival of Shabbos. Kimo shehu yotzei likrat hamelech, as if you're about to greet the king, not the malka, but the melech. The chachamim harishonim hayu mikabtzim talmidein be'erev Shabbos umisatfin veomrim bo'u v'neitzei likrat Shabbos hamelech. And this became the basis of the Kabbalists establishing what we call Kabbalat Shabbat, and having a tefillah to welcome the arrival of the Shabbos. Hence, I suggest, Baruch Shomer Havtachato. What does Shomer mean? Not that he fulfilled it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't wait for the time that would be the appropriate moment to deliver Am Yisrael from Galut. On a variety of levels as to why. Number one, Chazal believe, the Pasuk indicates that, Imo Anochi Bitzara, I HaKadosh Baruch Hu am with you in crisis, says the Gemara, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Makom Shegol Eshchina, Goyle Yisrael, Goyle Eshchina Imayim. Anytime Am Yisrael were in exile, the Shechina Kavayachal accompanies us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting in with bated breath, waiting, anticipating for the moment that He can possibly redeem us. Baruch Shomer Havtachato. Good. Let's move on to another thought. If you go back to the page 18a, which is the text of the Haggadah, and this the Rav elaborated on many, many times, and I have mentioned, or this aspect of it, after the Manishtana is concluded, one would have expected that the parent leading the Seder would respond to the child and start to address his questions. Why are we doing so many different things tonight? Why are we eating matzah instead of maror? Why are we eating, instead of chametz? Why are we eating bitter herbs? Why are we dipping things? Why do we eat reclining? And at the time of the mikdash, there was a fifth question. Why are we only eating roasted meat? Nothing else. And in fact, it's our minhag, Ashkenazic, that we don't eat roasted meat Seder night. We don't do that because to commemorate the Korban Pesach. But yet, the child will fall asleep by the time you even get to the story. Because the first five paragraphs after the Manishtana are simply articulating the halachot of the Seder. The halachot of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the first paragraph, where it says Avadam Ayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim, it tells us the obligation. That what is the obligation? Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the mitzvah. V'chol amar beh hareze meshubach. Then the Baal Haggadah cites the proof text to this. Maaseh b'Rabbi Elezer, and so on and so forth. These people certainly are chachamim in nevonim. And yet, they were misaprim b'Yetzias Mitzrayim kol oto halayla. Then, in the third paragraph, Amar lahem Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei ani kivim shivim shana v'lo zechish yitayam esam b'ashadar shabem zoma. It defines how extensive the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is. It's not a one and done mitzvah, which you do on the 15th day of the month of Nisan. But you are obligated, we all are obligated, to recall the drama of the Exodus of Mitzrayim every day and every night of the year. That's what this paragraph is here. To teach us that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Lo zachisi shitayami yitzias Mitzrayim ad shid balelos ad shidarsha ben Zoma. He darshaned the pasuk, Leman tizkoris yom tzeizcham yeretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. And it's designed to teach us that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is all year long. And in fact, if you remember what I told you, that's how the Rav explained the famous Rambam. The Rambam writes, in his definition of the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he is the only Rishon who does not quote the famous pasuk, which happens to be on your source sheet, the famous pasuk, let me just give you the page where it is. Everybody knows it by heart anyhow. The Rambam, the Haggadah quotes the pasuk that everybody else quotes. It's on page 18a, where there's a bet next to it. Yachol merosh chodesh, Talmud lomar bayamahu. I bayamahu yachol mubod yom. Talmud lomar ba'avur zeh lo amarti ela b'shashi matzimar mefanecha. And the phrase before that is v'higadita levincha bayom hahu leimar. That's the pasuk of secrecy of Mitzrayim quoted by everybody, except the Rambam. The Rambam quotes another pasuk. He quotes a pasuk in Shmot 13, verse 3. Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzata me'eretz Mitzrayim. Zachor et hayom hazeh. Now, it's as if I wouldn't know what the word Zachor means, so the Rambam says, Kimo shene'emar Zachor et Yom HaShabbat l'kadsho. Kimo shene'emar. So why does the Rambam need this analogy? I know what the word Zachor et Yom HaZeh means. What does he need this analogy for to Kiddush? And the answer is, Kiddush, the word Zachor, does not mean to remember. It's not an imperative. The word imperative in Hebrew is zichor. If you remember our davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Avinu Malkeinu, zichor ki afar anachnu. Avinu Malkeinu, zichor rachamecha uchivosh kascha. That's the imperative for remember. Zachor, says Rashi, Ramban, and Ibn Ezra, means zichirat tamid, a continuous remembrance. So all week we remember the Shabbos, just a brief reference. What do we say? Today we said, Hayom Yom Chamishi B'Shabbos. We don't have names for the days of the week. We call everything a reference to Shabbos. Shammai went shopping today. He went shopping every day of the week. And whatever he bought, something good, he saved it for Shabbos. Found something better, he ate that, and he saved. He went ahead and went shopping, and he saved the next thing for Shabbos. So, Zachor is done in one of two ways. First, there is a brief reference to it every day of the week. And on Friday night, we elaborate through the recitation of the Kiddush. So too, says Rambam, about the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. You remember it briefly all year by reciting the Shema, the third paragraph. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Once a year, on the 15th of Nisan, Pesach at night, we elaborate on the Exodus from Mitzrayim. So this particular section here is just telling us why is it incorporated in the Haggadah? Because it's part of the definition of the mitzvah of CPCS Mitzrayim. Not only tonight, but all year. Just give me one more second. Then the Baal Haggadah quotes Birchas HaTorah, a form of Birchas HaTorah. Baruch HaMakom Shenatan Torah LeYisrael LeAmo Yisrael. Why is there Birchas HaTorah tonight? Because not only will we be telling stories, we will be learning Hilchot Pesach tonight. And whenever you are called upon to learn a specific text, it requires an additional Birchot HaTorah. Every time we read the Torah, before somebody reads the text, he says Birchas HaTorah. Even though he said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, before davening. But if they say Birchas HaTorah again, because when you're called up to the Torah this Shabbos, you can't learn Bava Kamma. You can't read Parshas Bereishis. You have to read Sazria, Rosh Chodesh, and Parshas HaChodesh this Shabbos. So there are Birchot HaTorah. The Medrash tells us, the Mechilta says, that when you bring Bikurim, the first fruits to the Mikdash, in addition to bringing the basket with your first fruits, there is a mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. You have to read a Parsha, which we include in the Haggadah, and Darshan, Arami Oved Avi. The Mechilta says, you have to make Birchas HaTorah before you recite that Parsha. Because when you get to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't learn Zohar. You have to read those four Psukim. So here too, we have to learn Hilchos Pesach on Pesach night. Therefore it's Baruch Shinasan Torah Lama Yisrael. And then it gives you the date. Yachol Merosh Chodesh. So the first six paragraphs are here to teach that there is a mitzvah to study Hilchos HaPesach. Hilchos HaPesach. And now if you go to on the bottom of page 18c, circled with a bet, I want to explain why learning is such an integral part of the Pesach Seder night. An integral part. The Tosefta in source A writes in the middle of the line, Chayav Adam la'asok behilchot ha-Pesach kol halayla. You are obligated to study Hilchos ha-Pesach, Pesach night, all night. And then in Halacha Yud Bet, the next line, Ma'ase b'Rab Gamliel u'zakeimim shehayim mesubin be'beis baitus ben zonin belud. Okay, it doesn't say by us, it just says Masra, it doesn't say where. Here in the Brice it says it was in Lud. V'hayu asukin behilchos ha-Pesach kol halayla. And they were learning, what were these guys, five Tanoim, doing? They weren't telling the CPCS Mitzrayim, they were discussing Rambams and Hilchos Pesach. And Rab Chaim, the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda, Rab Chaim's, yeah, these Tanoim were discussing Rab Chaim's. Fine. But why is it so important? And the reason why it's so important is because a basic tendency of a freed slave is that nobody tells me what to do any longer. I've been subjugated. My entire life has been dictated to by my master every minute of the day. Finally, when a slave is freed, the last thing they want to do is commit to someone else's instructions and mandates and commandments. Says Rashi, on the phrase, Ba'avur ze asa Hashem li, God did this. What did He do? He took me out of Mitzrayim. Ba'avur ze, because of this He took me out of Mitzrayim. Now, don't look at Rashi. Tell me why you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Just tell me what you remember from the third grade. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us out of Mitzrayim? Because we were slaves. And He wanted to free us. Says Rashi, no, that's not the case. Ba'avur zeh. Ba'avur she'akayim mitzvotav. Kigon, Pesach, Umatzah, Umaror, Halal. Why did he take us out of Mitzrayim? For one reason only. Because I am going to listen to his commands to eat Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. How does a person demonstrate that he or she acknowledges that I understand that the purpose of Geulat Mitzrayim was to subjugate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rules and regulations? You study halacha. That's what halacha does. Teaches us how to conduct our life. So which halachot should I be studying tonight? Not Hilchos Tefillah, not Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, studying the laws of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Because it demonstrates the ultimate objective why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, as Rashi says, Ba'avur She'ekayim. And hence, Pesach night at the Seder is not only appropriate to tell the story, but it's also appropriate, particularly if you have knowledgeable children, to engage in Hilchos HaPesach. We even respond that way to the Chacham. When the Chacham says, what do we say? V'af ata emor lo kehilchos HaPesach. Doesn't say tell him the story about the drum. He knows the story. Engage in halachot. So the emphasis, why six opening paragraphs of the Haggadah have nothing to do with the drama of CPCS Mitzrayim. It's a formulation of the halacha. This Tosefta recognizes that we are obligated to study halachot, and that's what the five Tanaim were doing, because halacha is a disciplined way of life, and the freed slave should never think that I'm going to do whatever I darn please, having just been freed from slavery. Let's move on to something else. On page 18D, just one more thing, excuse me. On the top of 18D, the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Aleph, is the one who coined the entire activity of Pesach night, the Seder. He coined it. And in fact, there's a different our Rambams, not the one that I downloaded from Bar Ilan. Here the Rambam says, Sidur Asiyat Mitzvot Elu Beleil Chamisha Asakachu. Our Rambams say, Seder Asiyas. It's the same thing. Why do I call the whole thing a Seder? Because what does Seder indicate? It's not haphazard. It's not I do what I want. What do? You follow a prescribed sequence. And the Rambam uses the word Seder only three times in Mishneh Torah. This I've mentioned before. You should remember that. Only three times in Mishneh Torah. Once in Hilchot Tefillah. Peretet Seder Tefillat Hatzibur Kachi. And then in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim Kachi. And the word Seder in both occasions, those means that if you change anything, you fail to accomplish your objective. On Yom Kippur, it has very serious overtones. If he changes the order or any sequence, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He's going to die. You're not going to die if you change Tefillah B'Tzibur, not going to die. But you're not going to fulfill the experience of Tefillah B'Tzibur. And the same thing is Pesach at night. You can't tamper with it, even though it would be so much more logical not to follow the order. Why do I say it would be much more logical not to follow the order? Because how in the world is a kid supposed to ask a question, why are we eating matzah tonight? He hasn't seen any matzah. They don't expect that the four questions are going to be asked based on the fact that he learned them in nursery school. That's not what is expected. It is the experience that's supposed to trigger. How's he supposed to know that there are two tibulim? He hasn't seen two tibulim yet. He saw one. But how does he know there's going to be mara and another tibul? How does anybody know that he's going to eat roasted meat tonight and not boiled chicken? How does he know that? So by right, some Rishonim suggest that what should have happened was, right after Kiddush, the halachic meal should have been eaten. Just the halachic meal. Not Shulchan Orech. Just the halachic meal. Matzah, Maror, Korban Pesach. And then he should start asking naturally, Pop, Mom, why are we eating this flatbread? What happened to the roux, the two geflochten achalas that we have every Friday night? Why are we having these bitter herbs? I don't like any vegetables, but certainly not bitter ones. How can you? Anyhow, it's a good point, but we don't change it because the halacha, for one reason or another, says this is the order of the Seder. Good question. Yeah.
Well, the question was back while we were talking about Zohar. I was wondering how does that apply when we talk about Amalek?
That's it. Perfect. You're supposed to remember what Amalek did every single day of the year. Once a year, there's a formal reminder and a description as to what he did. But we're always supposed to be cognizant of what Amalek stands for and represents all the time. Same interpretation. It says Zachor. That's because it says Zachor. Page 18d, Gimel. There is a famous Mishnah stated by Shammai. Shammai Omer, Asei Toroscha Kva, nice, but here what's relevant for us, Emor Me'at V'Asei Harbe. Don't talk so much. In fact, we mentioned this at the Chumashir this Wednesday. When Avraham initially tells the three visiting angels, Vo'etcha pas lechem, I'll bring a shtickle bright, v'sadu lepchem, and you'll be satiated, and then you'll leave. And then three psukim later, we realize he brings not only pas lechem, he brings bakar, chem'ah v'chalav, and so on and so forth. So everybody says, that's the source of Shammai. Emor ma'at v'aseh harbe. Question is, why is it that Pesach at night we put such a premium on what we're saying? We don't govern our behavior Pesach at night by emor ma'at. It's quite the opposite. The more you say, the better off it is. Kol amar lesape b'yitzias Mitzrayim hareze meshubach. And the suggestion is because, according to many authorities, it is the speech, inappropriate speech, on two occasions that ultimately led to the enslavement of Mitzrayim. Some Rishonim cite the Pasuk in source B, Eile Toldot Pasuk Bet, Eile Toldot Yaakov Yosef Ben Shva Esre Shana, Hayaroet Echab Batzom, Vehunaret Vnei Bilam Esmin Sof Sheyaviv, Vayavei Yosef Et Dibatam Ra'a El Avihem. And this started the whole quarrel. What did he bring to his father? Dibatam. Mazeh dibatam? Lashon hara. He didn't speak very favorably about his brothers to his pop. That's one source. A second source that some Rishonim point to is the pasuk in Parshat Vayera after Yitzchak is born and he grows up in the house. And he says, Pesukim Tet and Yud in chapter 21, Vatere Sarah et Ben Hagar HaMitzrit Ashel Yalda LeAvraham Mitzachek. Okay? So whatever Mitzachek means, Rashi says he was teaching Yitzchak avodah zarah and so on. It's not my concern what he was doing, but he was certainly saying something. But here comes the dagger. Vatomer laAvraham, and Sarah says to Avraham, Garesh ha'amah hazot ve'et bina. Get rid of her. And despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, Kol asher tomar elecha Sarah shema b'kola, listen to whatever she says, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not necessarily appreciate the manner in which Sarah expressed herself. This was her husband's son. And she has just given birth to a child as well, so she should be able to understand the attachment of a parent to a child. So although conceptually she's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not necessarily terribly thrilled with her statement. And hence, where does Am Yisrael get exiled to? To Hagar's country. Hagar came from Mitzrayim. Hagar came from Mitzrayim. So we are exiled because of inappropriate speech. Inappropriate speech on behalf of the brothers, on behalf of Yosef, who speaks poorly about the brothers. The brothers don't take it too well, and it leads to the whole sale into Mitzrayim. And the inappropriate way of Sarah addressing her husband, Avraham, Yishmael's father. And that's what the Torah says, Vayera hadavar. Avraham was upset at Sarah for two things. Number one, about the content, don't send away my kid, and don't talk to me like that. Gareshet ben Armazot. So the way to be misakein, the tragedy of inappropriate speech, is to be marbe lesaper. Even though normally we believe in emor ma'at, Pesach at night, we have to continuously engage in talking, more talking and more talking, because the way to rectify inappropriate speech is by engaging in the type of speech which is most appropriate and most relevant. That's why it's suddenly called Hamarbe L'Saper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, even though we normally like, as another Mishnah in Masechet Avot says, Yofe Shtika, just being quiet, watching the ball game. That's the greatest. Yofe Shtika. Not Pesach at night. Let's move on to number Dalad. I begin with a poem which is recited in many homes. It's printed in every Haggadah. The name of the poem is Vayhi Bachetzi Halayla. And I can just tell you what the whole poem says. And it describes Oz Rov Nisim Hifleta Balayla. It describes a lot of things which, according to Midrashim and Kabbalists, because this is a very late composition, happened Bachatzi Halayla, exactly at night. And on which night? On the 15th of the month of Nisan. Lots of other things that have absolutely nothing to do with Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim. But I recite it because of Vayhi Bechatzi Halayla. So the question is, why do I include this particular poem in our liturgy of the Haggadah, Pesach at night, simply because there are other things that took place Bechatzi Halayla? So there are two suggestions as to why it might take place. Suggestion number one is suggested by Rabbi Twersky, and he suggests that we often think that Kiddushat Hayom, the concept of the sanctity of the day, is that the day is invested with sanctity as a result of something that happened on that day. So Rosh Hashanah is a day invested with Kiddushat Hayom of Rosh Hashanah Because what happened? The world was created on that day. And Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a second chance. That's why we have Rosh Hashanah. And what happened on the 15th? Why is the 15th of Tishrei endowed with Kiddushah? Based on the fact that God at that time had taken us out of Mitzrayim and He built for us a Sukkot. There is a possibility that it's just the opposite. Not that the day is invested with sanctity because of what happened. The events happened because the day is a very special day. Take a look at source B, the third line towards the end. I bracketed for you. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, B'nisan Nig'alu, B'nisan Asidin Lehigael. We have been redeemed in Nisan, and we will be redeemed in Nisan. That's why Rabbi Yeshua believes that the most important month is, and he believes the world was created in Nisan, not like in Tishrei, Rabbi Lez's opinion. Minolon, how do I know that this is going to take place? That the future Geula will take place in the month of Nisan? A makra, Pasuk states in Vayikra chapter, in Shemot chapter 13, it calls Pesach at night Leil Shimurim. Leil HaMishumar. The guarded special night. Uba, and when did it arrive as a special night? Misheshet Yimei Bereshis. What are you talking about? Sheshet Yimei Bereshis? They already designated the 15th of Nisan as a special night? The answer was yes. Because for one reason or another, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt this day is important. That's why we were redeemed on the 15th of Nisan. Why are we going to be redeemed on the 15th of Nisan for the next time? Because that day has special qualities. And when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu endow that day with special qualities? From the time that He created the world. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, you can challenge the Gemara. But when you're dealing with the Haggadah, you can say whatever you want. Because we're not dealing with halacha tonight. So you can say whatever you want. So. So under those circumstances, the Baal Haggadah wants to demonstrate proof that this theory is correct. And how does he demonstrate that? By including a poem of events that were Vayehi b'chatzi halayla. Events that took place on the night of the 15th, exactly at Chatzot. So it's not just randomly these things happen. These things all happened on the 15th. Because Kiddushat Hayom means the exact opposite of the way we understand it. Kiddushat Hayom does not mean that the day is endowed with sanctity because of what took place. But what took place as a result of the fact that the day, from the time of creation and onward, has already been sanctified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one possible explanation. A second explanation is based on what the Rav once suggested as the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Look at source C on the bottom of page 18d. We know that before we eat our meal, even though we are going to dedicate the entire fourth course on Hallel, we recite part of Hallel before eating in the middle of the second course, in the middle of Maggid, towards the end. So there's a machloikis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, how much Hallel you're supposed to recite before the meal. Ad heichan hu omer. Beit Shammai omrim ad eim habanim smecha. In other words, you recite just the first paragraph. Why? Because you said in the previous paragraph, lefikach anachnu chayavim lehodot ulehalel. Because the fact that God took us out of Mitzrayim and continues to take us out of Mitzrayim, we have to be mishabeach, you have to praise. So say the first paragraph, that's enough. And where do you reserve B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim for? For the fourth coast, which is the bracha on Hallel. So I would at least like to recite the paragraph, the only paragraph in the Hallel that is officially connected to Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'd like to recite that paragraph at the time when I'm making the bracha on Hallel. Ubeit Hillel omrim, no. Ad chalom shlemayin emayim. Hillel says, the way we do, because we always follow Hillel, we recite two paragraphs. The first one, Hallelujah, Hallelu Abdei Hashem, and B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. So if we have already acknowledged God, thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for having taken us out of Mitzrayim during the second cup, at the end of Magid, what's the recitation of the whole Hallel for? There's not a bloody word in the rest of the Hallel about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what does that go on? So the Rav developed the following principle, and there's so many proofs for it, that the halacha is, any time you are obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one good thing that He did, you must take that opportunity to thank Him for everything else that He did. So the rest of Hallel, according to Beis Hillel, has nothing to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. If God did something to us in the 13th century, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that too. If God built the Beit HaMikdash and returned, destroyed it and returned us in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, thank Him for that too. In our generation, we are privileged for Medinat Yisrael, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pesach at night. So the rest of the Hallel is not necessarily related to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a broad, general thank you because we use every opportunity of thanks to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything else. We see this principle in several locations. One, Birchat HaMazon. What do we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for primarily? For the food. But then we say Nodelecha. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Shehotzei Sanu Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, Ufti Sanu Mi'Beit Avadim, and Eretz Chemda Tova Shehinchalt Olav Oseinu. Then we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having given us Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. And then in the fourth bracha, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Hu Heitiv, Hu Meitiv, Hu Yeitiv. Just thank you for being good to us. Same principle. The trigger is mazon. Once there's a chiyuv to say thank you for mazon, say for everything else. If you've ever made Birchat HaGomel, illustration number 3, what do we say? HaGomel l'chayavim tovot, shegmalani kol tov. You don't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this good, that you were cured from an illness, or you traversed the desert. It's kol tov. Because if you successfully recovered from an illness, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Same thing is, if you come to a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle for you. So you're supposed to say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, She'asu li neis b'makom hazeh. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle someplace else, you're supposed to say, B'makom hazeh, u'bimkomot acherim. You did a miracle for me there too. Even though I'm not there. Because once there is a trigger, you say thanks for everything. So too, the Baal Haggadah says, that's why it is Vahi B'chatzi Alayla. Because I'm going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu tonight, not only for the event that He did on the 15th of Nisan, Bachatzi Halayla, but He did 10 other things, Bachatzi Halayla. And that's what this song commemorates, so we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for those other events as well. Let's move on. Yeah. So I'm not going to have a chance to do all of them, but I want to do, there's this one about times. Yeah, I should have had this. It's Rashi. Yeah, page 18F. We'll do where it says Zion. The pasuk that serves as the basis of the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim, according to most Rishonim, I told you the Rambam has some other source, is Vihigadita Levincha Bayomahu Leimor. There are two different types of speech denoted in this pasuk: Vihigadita and Leimor. And the question is, those, according to Rashi, are contradictory terms. Look at Rashi in, well, I have source B. This is a pasuk in Shmot Perek Yutet, in the introduction to the Aseret HaDibrot. The Torah says, Ko tomar lebeit Yisrael, lebeit Yaakov, Ko tomar lebeit Yaakov, vitageid lebnei Yisrael. Says Rashi, lebeit Yaakov, Elu Hanoshim. And Tomar Lohen Bilashon Raka. Speak to the women in a very soft tone. Because Vayomer Amira always denotes a softer approach. Vitageid Libnei Yisrael, that's the men, Onshim Vidiktukim Peirash Lizicharim, to the men. And what is Vihigadita? Dvarim hakashin kigidin. It means words that are hard as what? Veins. So there are two different approaches. Two different approaches. Which approach is the appropriate one in terms of educating our children? Vihigadita levincha. There used to be the old school that said, discipline is the way to educate a child. You set boundaries, you have guidelines, and if you violate them, you get a fraskin punim. I'm sure many of you had teachers, perhaps even parents, who used to hit. I had both. Okay, not often, but I had rabbeim in the first grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. One rebbe had a stick, you had to stick your hand out, and Rabbi Geldworth, he used to hit you. It was crazy. It's nuts. But that's what they believed in. Today, there's a completely different approach. The word no doesn't exist in our lexicon. You can't tell a kid what to do. There's no such thing as failure for a child. Nobody fails. Nobody strikes out. What a swing that was. Wow. Wow, what a great swing. You made a good effort to get the thing, even though you made it, the ball went right through your legs. And today, discipline is considered the absolute worst thing. Absolute worst thing. Why? It's going to turn people off. And to some extent, it's true. To some extent, being too tough is much too dangerous. Much too dangerous. And on the other hand, if you have no guidelines whatsoever, it's difficult to become, to recognize that in certain areas, in the workplace, there have to be guidelines. You know, your boss is not going to tolerate just doing whatever you want because that's the way I grew up. And so it's a little difficult. So the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, and drawing from the Pasuk, says there has to be a happy medium between the two. There has to be Vihigadita, Gidin, Dvarim Kashin. There have to be boundaries, guidelines, and consequences for not behaving. There's no doubt. It doesn't have to be overly harsh. And that's why it concludes with the word lemor, explaining, trying to share with them the rationale for your guidelines, not because I said so. Do I have the secret formula? Of course not. If I had, I would retire from the rabbinate a long time ago because I'd be a multi-millionaire if I had that secret as to what the appropriate balance is. But the Kutzker once commented with the last source on Pasuk C. Three psukim in Parshat Mishpatim. Umakei aviv ve'imo, a child who strikes mother or father dies. Skip a pasuk. Umikalel aviv ve'imo mos yimas. Somebody who curses mother and father, you die. And sandwiched in between is v'gonev ish umecharo, somebody who kidnaps a human being and sells him, also gets killed. Asks the Kutzker, why didn't they write the two parental ones next to one another? Makei aviv, mikalel, and then write about kidnapping. Why sandwich v'gonev ish umecharo? Says the Kutzker, because when a parent is too demanding and tries to shape the child in accordance with mother or father's perception as to what my kid ought to look like, you rob the kid of his own personality. You know why a child can hit his father or mother? You know why a child can curse his mother and father? Because you stole his life. You were vigonev ish. Who is that ish? Your own kid. You didn't allow the kid to develop into his own personality. You tried to force feed that your values are the only legitimate values and give him no opportunity to express himself. We have to find the appropriate balance between vihigadita and lemor. Have a good night. We'll daven ma'ariv.